Good morning, Austin Oaks Church. Trust you are doing well on this beautiful, muggy, humid morning. My name is Brandon Ziske, the lead pastor here at Austin Oaks Church. If you're a guest with us, we are thrilled that you are here this specific Sunday because we want to let you know a few things. One, that we're a church that strives to be simply about Jesus, but also that this gospel that Jesus brings us covers and crosses all lines, breaks down all walls, spans all races, all countries. And so this morning, we are excited to have with us a friend, Pastor Charles from Rwanda. Now, before he comes up, being the new guy on the block, you see, I've been the lead pastor here for about a year and a half, and one of the things that you try to do is to learn what has been and what is and where we're going. And one of the things that I've discovered about Austin Oaks Church is that they had this beautiful relationship with African New Life. And as I discovered that and realized all of the things that has happened to there, I was like, man, we want to jump back in. We want to be full on. We want to support that. We want to partner with that. We want to make sure that we sponsor children. We send people over there and they come over here. And so this morning, I'm going to challenge you to think about doing something, okay? I'm going to challenge you to prayerfully consider doing one of two things. One, either you're going to choose to walk out here and sponsor a child, okay? There was 100 children that they brought, and you know, back there for us to sponsor. And over the years, Austin Oaks Church has sponsored over 136 kids. There was 100 of them there, and I believe there should be no reason at the end of the service that there should be one left. For $39 a month, folks, that is an Amazon Prime subscription, Hulu, Netflix. That's about 4 cups of coffee at Starbucks. We can do that because here's the reality. Our little yes here and our little inconvenience here makes a substantial difference in the kingdom of God somewhere else. And you're going to hear that from the heart of Pastor Charles. Also, you're going to hear about an opportunity to go boots on ground to Rwanda in November to do some work with African New Life. And so if you would, let's extend a hand to welcome up Pastor Charles this morning. Now, real quick, I'm telling you, I am eagerly looking forward to building a relationship with this guy. The little bit that I have had, I am just floored that the Lord has used him. One of the things that we say here is never underestimate your simple yes to Jesus. And Pastor Charles is a man who said yes to Jesus, and now we get to be blessed by his story, but also to be invited in to be part of what God is doing in his life. This man has literally changed, through the power of Jesus Christ, thousands of lives. And I said 9,000. They sponsored 9,000 children. He corrected me so graciously first service and said, no, it's over 10,000, which is awesome. And so by the end of this morning, it's going to be 10,100.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Okay. So I would love for us just to pray for him and for us to have hearts to receive what it is that God has for us this morning. We're so glad to have you this morning, Pastor. Father, we ask that through your Spirit, you would move in our hearts. Lord, as we come together again in your word in Colossians, just to be reminded about the preeminence of Jesus, the magnificence of Jesus, help us to realize that there are people in this world that need to know about Jesus, and that you've called us to be a church, to be mobilized, to move forward, to make disciples. And Lord, we're so glad that you sent your brother here sent a brother here to challenge us in the stirs of Lord. I ask that you would bless him, give him your words, and may we have hearts to receive what it is that you would have for us this morning. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Good morning, church. It's so good to be here, especially to know a lot of people here. I mean, and go to this corner and meet someone you know, go to the other corner and say, I remember that one all over here. It's so beautiful to feel like I am at home right in this place. I came with my wife, Florence. You want to stand up? Yeah. And possibly many of you know Natalie. She works for African New Life Ministry here in Austin. And Pastor, in the first service, we are talking about the fruits of the ministry, child sponsorship, and Chusa is right here. He's a college student from African New Life Ministries. God is so good, and it's so good to be here. And please, will you give thanks to my friend, the Matthias, for hosting us He really takes good care of us with his wife. When you meet him, you actually meet Austin. You get to know the entire city. This is his place. And we love that we're getting to know Austin and getting to love your place and the people here. Maredi, my wife, is right here, and we have 5 children. And we thank God for those 5 children. 1 is adopted, and 4 are biological kids, and they are growing up to love the Lord. We come from the nation of Rwanda. African New Life Ministries works in Rwanda, and I founded African New Life Ministries after the genocide which happened in Rwanda in 1994, the genocide of the Tutsi people of Rwanda. Both of my parents raised up as refugees in Uganda, running away from the first part of the genocide. In 1994, the genocide ended, claimed nearly 1 million people in just 3 days, three months. And in those 3 months, 90 days, nearly the entire nation was wiped out. At the age of 26, I went to my home country for the first time after living just like 6 hours away from the border. And as soon as I entered Rwanda, my heart was completely broken. Was broken because the country was dark. Dark spiritually, but also dark physically. Dead bodies were still smelling everywhere. Literally, human bodies smelling everywhere. And mass graves still going on all over the nations. The United Nations, the UN military was over the country at that time, really driving everywhere. And during that time, God started speaking to me. In the middle of that darkness, when most people were running away, I felt a pull in my heart, which was calling me to enter this country. And we entered that country for a period of 3 years. We preached the gospel from one town to another town with an evangelist from here in Texas, from San Antonio, Texas. His name is Sammy Tippity. And I was the crusade director. And we preached the gospel in the darkness, trying to bring a little bit of light, introduce people to Jesus in the middle of the pain they had. And during that time, I also felt like God doesn't just want me to visit Rwanda. He wants me to live there and stay there and reach out to the children and extend the gospel, not only in proclamation, but compassionately, like reaching out to orphaned kids. And I remember, Alita, I didn't have money, but I felt the way to go, you preach the gospel, you help the poor. You preach the gospel, you feed the children. You preach the gospel, you build schools for the kids. Now I want to imagine a 26, 27-year-old younger man. You have no money, but this is the conviction. So later on, when I got married to my wife I met in Bible college, she had the same passion. She had been raised up the same way. And we had some little money on us. And we took the little money we had and helped 9 children go to school. And as soon as we did that, God opened up a door for us. We came to America to go to seminary in Portland, Oregon, to prepare ourselves to go to Rwanda for a greater ministry God had for us. And in one of our trips back to Rwanda, we took our babysitting money. You know, international students babysitting kids in the U.S. And we used that money to start a preschool. That preschool now is one of the best high schools in Rwanda, and Chusa graduated from there. The 9 children and 29 later are now over 10,000 sponsored children in the nation of Rwanda. Lives are being transformed. 6 churches, we've planted 6 churches, and this year we are planting church number 7 and starting a community number 7. 6 months, thank you. 6 months ago, A number of you have been involved in our hospital project in the city of Kigali, and that hospital opened up its doors to the communities, and the hospital is 60 beds, your best hospital in the city of Kigali. Africa College of Theology to train pastors. God has done great things. Jesus is powerful. And today I want to talk about Jesus from Colossians chapter 1, verse 17 to 23. And this Jesus who is so powerful and who is before all things, I have good news for you. He lives in us and he is for us. And if you don't yet have him in your life, he's knocking on the door of your heart today. And when you willingly open up your door, he will come into your life and completely transform you, change you, take limits over your life and use you in great ways. My story is so simple. I was raised up a non-believer. I was raised up without an understanding of Jesus and the gospel. And in the middle of my troubles and challenges, I met a pastor who had heard the gospel from someone who had heard the gospel from Canadian missionaries who came from Vancouver, Canada. And after this guy heard the gospel, he actually came to the village, and in that village, there were no churches. Literally, no churches, no gospel. And I had the opportunity of getting to know him and his wife. And they led me to Jesus Christ. But before they led me to Jesus Christ, at the age of 17, for about 6 months, I was struggling in my heart, trying to look and seek for God myself. I had a prayer book, and I would pray to every saint you can think of. And literally, one day, I got so tired of making these prayers that don't have power. And I remember at age 16, I put down my prayer book and I started praying to God I didn't know, and I cried tears, because God was working in my life even before anyone preached the gospel to me. Later on at 17, gave my life to Jesus. I was the first person to give my life to Jesus in my entire family tree. In my entire family. Now my brothers are believers. My mom is a believer. My dad has gone to be with the Lord. I was the first person on the entire village. Like there's no one on the village was a believer. There was a church on another side of the country. You had to cross to another village. And quickly, some kind of fire and love for this newfound relationship in Jesus Christ could not stop. I started preaching the gospel. Three of my neighbor's kids came to Jesus Christ. My village had a mosque, but no church. And I started preaching to anyone I could find on my way. Went to streets and shops and homes. I was so in love with Jesus. By the way, I am still in love with Jesus. My love for him hasn't toned it down even for an inch. He is the reason. He is the power. He is the strength behind all the work we do with the children and the people in Rwanda. And Paul says in verse 17, and in verse 17, he says, He is before all things. Before the world was created, before the earth and the skies and the seas and even angels existed, Jesus was there. He is God himself. Okay? He existed. And in him all things hold together. He is eternal. He is with no beginning and no end. again, this is God Himself who chose to reveal Himself to us here on earth through His Son, Jesus Christ. In other words, God wanted to connect with us. And when God wanted to connect with us, He chose a virgin girl whose name is Mary. And through the power and the grace of the Holy Spirit, she became pregnant. She got a baby. What a miracle. And that baby was born. And she grew up. But she was born to die for our sins. She was born to die so that you and me, we can be forgiven of our sins and become God's children. And out of that forgiveness of our sins, He wanted to build a church for Himself. And the Bible says He is the head of the body, the church. He is the head of the body, the church. That's verse 18. He is the head of the body, the church. I know some people want to call Christ's church after their name, and they say, that is Charles's church. That is Johnny's church. They call the name after the pastor's name. That is completely wrong. No church should ever be called after the pastor's name, because the church does not belong to the pastor. The church belongs to Jesus. Amen. He is the bishop of the church. He is the chief shepherd of the church. Pastors come and go. We come and go. We are human beings. Only God is here with His church forever. And I wish churches would learn to connect more with God than even their pastors. In fact, my role as a shepherd, as a pastor, is to help you find Jesus and connect with Jesus. Not connect with me, connect with Jesus. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning. He is the firstborn among the dead. He lives on forever. All the other dead who rose up temporarily from the dead by the power of Jesus, they died again. But our Jesus lives on forever. The Bible says that He rose from the dead and He appeared before His disciples and many people with amazing, convincing proofs for 40 days. And after those 40 days, He went back to heaven. They saw Him going. And then the apostles were kind of wondering, where has He gone? And the angels appeared and told them, guys, stop. Jesus is gone. And as you've seen Him go, He's going to come back. He's alive forevermore in our lives. And He is with us in this place. He is the ruler of life. He's the supreme power that holds the church together and holds our life together. Verse 19 says, for God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him. God takes pleasure in His Son, Jesus Christ, whom He gave us. And God loves it when we take pleasure in His Son and love Him. And through Him, to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Now, that hit me hard this morning. The whole idea of reconciling to Himself all things, the whole idea of bringing peace to us through His death on the cross. And I started imagining that whoever rejects forgiveness and reconciliation actually rejects Jesus. You know, I come from a background where we've had all these wars between ethnic groups in my home country. And we've been going through years of reconciliation, forgiveness and reconciliation. And the church has been at the center of promoting forgiveness and reconciliation. And I have not seen any nation on earth where they are actually experiencing forgiveness and reconciliation like what I see in Rwanda. The whole idea of being able to live in the neighborhood of someone who killed your family, or go to the same school, go to the same church, and sing on the same pulpit, and worship Jesus with actually people who killed your family, it is only a miracle which can be done only by the blood of Jesus Christ. Humanly speaking, is next to impossible. It's only by the blood of Jesus, and it's happening. God is doing miracles in Rwanda. Rwanda is a miracle nation when we see what the Lord has done there, and it's only by the Lord. The Lord brings peace. Peace can only be found through reconciliation. You cannot find peace without reconciliation, forgiveness, and reconciliation. Let me tell you, even in your individual life, you cannot find peace without reconciling with God. God created you in such a way that you should connect with Him. Every time you lose your connection with Jesus, with God, you lose a big deal. I know some people here, when you lose connection with your internet, you really become angry. You feel bad. I have seen some Americans visit us in Rwanda, and sometimes we don't have internet at the guest house. Now, you cannot keep Americans for 30 minutes without internet in the house. It's a bad deal. They want to be connected internet wise. But let me tell you, I can lose all the connections, but no, I don't want to lose the connection with Jesus. That's a connection that should stay on. It's like some kind of spiritual GPS should be over your head. And you should be connected with Jesus 24/7. Because He is the peace in your life. He is the peace in your life. One day, we were very far from God. I was. And we're enemies of God. That's verse 21. Because of our behavior, we're not good. That's a natural tendency. We tend to run away from God instead of coming to Him. But 22 says, but now He has reconciled you. By what? By His physical body. His physical body through death. Now, I know some people are able to go through Easter very quickly. I really struggle to go through Easter. In fact, from Friday to Saturday to Sunday and the following week, for me, I keep on imagining the 40 days. The 40 days of His appearing. He has reconciled us through His physical body to present you holy in His sight, without blemish, free from accusation. Accusation. He sets us free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. Hope in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard, that has been proclaimed to every creature under earth, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Servant. And because of that gospel, number one, Christ has become our righteousness. He has become our righteousness. Through His blood, we become righteous. Can you imagine yourself being declared righteous with all your past, with everything you have done? He says in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7, in Him, we have redemption through his blood. We've been redeemed through his blood. The forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of his grace. We have become righteous. Number two, Christ has become our identity. We are Christians. That's who we are. We are God's children. He has become our identity. That's the best identity you can ever have in your life. The Bible says in John chapter 1 verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name. That is our new identity. We are God's children. All of us, God's children. Not born by the will of man, but born by his physical body that was blood poured on the cross because of our sins. And he has brought us in to the family of God. To the extent, in John 15:15, he says, I no longer call you servants. The relationship becomes so cozy and close because servants don't know his master's business. He says, instead, I have called you my friends. We are God's friends. For everything that I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you. We can never find our identity in what we do. We can never find our identity in the degrees we have. We can never find our identity in our nationality. We can never find our identity in what we have, because the best identity that provides security for your life every day is found in an identity in Jesus Christ. In fact, in number three, Christ has become our security. He's our security. We talk about social security, we talk about homeland security, we talk about our home security, we talk about our financial security. All those forms of security every now and then get shaken. But Jesus is our security. In him, we are secure. It doesn't matter what actually happens. There are people who actually get persecuted for the gospel. That's why Romans chapter 8, 35, he said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble separate us? No. We are secure. Hardship? No. Persecution? No. Nakedness? No. Danger? No. We are secure. We face death all day long, but we are secure in the love of Jesus Christ. He loves us, and he loved us so much on the cross, and forever he will be our security. And last one, he's our priority. He's number one. Jesus is number one. What is number one in your life? I want you to think again, especially for you who have been believers for some time. By the way, for some people who have been believers for some time, especially for those who have been raised up in Christian families, God bless you. It's a great thing to be raised up in a Christian family, but you have to be careful. You have to be careful because God doesn't have grandchildren. God has sons. We are all sons. And sometimes the longer we stay in Jesus, sometimes for some people we tend to forget that Jesus is number one. The church is not number one. Jesus is number one. Your occupation is not number one. Jesus is number one. Number one. You wake up every day, the reason is Jesus. You go to work every day, the reason is Jesus. You go to school every day, the reason is Jesus. Come on, make Jesus number one. It's all about Jesus. In fact, when I entered this church and saw Jesus here, man, some kind of fire started burning in my heart. Wow, here is a church which focuses on Jesus. And the message of Jesus is simple. The gospel is simple. Sometimes we complicate it and make it more philosophical and hard for people to understand.
understand it. The message of Jesus is about his love for us. And his love for us is that he loved us so much that he could not stay in heaven. In all his promises, he humbled himself, came down here, died for us, and he started redeeming us one by one. And today, as I speak, there are some people in this place who need redemption in Jesus. And you can say to Jesus, yes, to him today, and he will receive you. And unfortunately, there are so many other people outside the doors of this building who need Jesus. And I want to encourage you to go home and make Jesus number one and invite them to church. In fact, it's wrong, completely wrong for any believer to come to church on Sunday without bringing another person to Jesus. Just think about it. Just think about it again. It's that important. When you make him number one, you try to serve him, to follow him, and to talk about him to all your friends. And for you who are not yet saved, don't go home the same. The pastor is here, I am here, friends are here. Man, just come in. Jesus is for you, and he loves you so much. He died on the cross for you. He doesn't want you to stay in the same circumstances. He wants to give you peace. Let's pray. God, we come before you. We thank you for Jesus. Jesus God. Jesus eternal. Jesus powerful. Jesus my friend. Jesus the Savior of the world. I ask you this morning, Lord, convict someone and draw him to faith, to loving you and to following you. Thank you for this church and for the good things you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
You want a job? Timely message. One of the things that we've been talking about in this series is that following Jesus isn't just about knowing things, and it's not just about hear and consuming things for ourselves. We understand because the gospel tells us clearly that a follower of Jesus is one who takes what they know and moves forward in obedience with that. And this is why I want to just highlight for us again the importance of our little yes of supporting one of these children is an important piece. And I would love to hear from Pastor Charles about how our sponsorship could really change the lives of some individuals over in Rwanda. So if you could share some of the stories that have happened from sponsorship, that'd be great.
Amen. Amen. I want to invite Chusa to come over here. Chusa, will you come over here? Chusa is one of the early sponsored students. Chusa, when were you sponsored? Which year were you sponsored Africa New Life?
In 2010.
In 2010. Tell us your story. How has child sponsorship impacted you?
I lost my parents when I was a young boy, at the age of 13. And then I tried to go to school, but things fell apart. In fact, I had to drop out because I didn't have enough money to go to school. And that's how African New Life came in, through my principal and the kids that I went to school with. The school that I went to was one of African New Life Christian schools in the whole nation that taught English. And so I had to go there because I wanted to learn English. And so they had sponsorship offices. And so my principal went there and told them about my issue, that I was not going to be able to go to school. And then African New Life came in, and I got sponsored. My sponsored mom is here, Natalie Green. And she started sponsoring me since I was 14, and now I'm 23. And it's been a great journey. My life has been transformed.
So what do you do now?
I'm going to college right now. I'm doing business. And I'm just open to what God wants to do in my whole life.
And he's a very powerful worship leader. Amen.
Awesome. So thanks, step here for a second.
Church, one of the reasons why we're doing kind of a missions exposure is because this is something that is core to our heart as a church. As we strive to be simply about Jesus, we want to make sure that we build every foundation in our lives off of him, and we want to build a church off of the mission that he has given us. And so we're rebuilding that, and one of the ways we want to do that is substantially partner with African New Life. So please, I want to encourage you. There should be, like, I'm not even going to say, like, you should pray about it, because my conviction is this is kind of a no-brainer to go back in that corner there and pick up a child sponsor and sponsor them. Okay, because your yes to that changes lives. You can't even imagine what will happen through this young man's life and his continued yes to Jesus. So first service, we said the same challenge to them, and they took 50 of them, so there's 50 left. Wow. There should be no reason why that's there, okay? And before we pray for these gentlemen, I also want to point out there's a missions book that were on your seats. I want to encourage you, go through that. Pray for our missionaries, okay? Because within the next year, there's going to be a lot of things that we're going to do with missions. But I want to highlight two specific things. There are two trips that are coming up. The first one is coming in September. We're going to go to Rio Bravo Ministries, and that's for men. And so if you want to find information, it's in your book. But also, again, in November, we're going to be going over to Charles's backyard and working with them in African New Life. So if that is of interest to you, again, sign up. Talk to Karen Nicholson back there. She'll give you the information that you need. But church, would you stand with me? We just want to pray for these two gentlemen here. Father, we pray your hand of blessing. Lord, we pray a blessing of power, a blessing of conviction, of peace. Lord, I ask that you would increase their influence. Lord, I pray for this young man in his life as he's studying in business. Lord, would you pour out your favor on him? Lord, would you do things in his life that he has to see to believe? God, I ask that you would give him a heart of obedience that dares to keep saying yes, to keep saying yes, to live for you. So, Father, would you bless the work of their hands and of their hearts and their minds with African New Life? Would you bless their families? Would you guide them and keep them safe? Lord, we pray that many, many would hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ in Rwanda and around the world through their obedience. And Lord, I ask too, Lord Jesus, that as a church, you would begin to stir us up. Lord, I'm asking that this morning you would forge another level, a deeper level of a relationship, of partnership with Austin Oaks Church and African New Life, that together we can change things for the glory of your son, Jesus. So, Lord, would you stir that up in our hearts? We understand clearly because your word tells us that we are not to sit and to stay. You told the disciples in Acts that to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit, because when that Spirit comes, then they will have the power to go to be your witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Lord, this is our opportunity. Give us the faith to continue to say yes. We pray this in Jesus' name. And now everybody said, amen. Let's give these guys a round of applause.